Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Built. It's 2026, and if you're still paying rent without Built, it's time for a change. Built is the loyalty program for renters that rewards you for your biggest monthly expense, rent. With Built, every rent payment earns you points that can be used toward flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, and so much more. And here's something I'm really excited about. Starting in February, Built members can earn points on mortgage payments for the first time. Soon, you'll be able to get rewarded wherever you live and unlock exclusive benefits with more than 45,000 restaurants, fitness studios, pharmacies, and other neighborhood partners. You can use Built points for rent credit for fitness classes at Barry's, for example. You know Barry's?
Ooh.
You can do Built home delivery. You can do Amazon.com, Lyft rides. There's gift cards. There are a lot of ways you can use Built points. It's simple. Paying rent is better with Built, and soon owning a home will be better with Built too. Earn rewards and get something back wherever you live. Join the loyalty program for renters at joinbuilt.com/loveit. That's joinbuilt.com/loveit. Make sure you use our URL so they know we sent you. joinbuilt.com/loveit. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Dynasty Typewriter. We have got a great show for you tonight. Robin Thede is here. We're going to talk about all the greatest rom-coms. Ted McGinley and Michael Urie are here to solve some of my personal problems. Do some shrinking right up here. Then we'll wrap up the show with a swirl of second guessing. But first, let's get into it. What a week. It is only mid-January. Our invasion of Venezuela is 2 weeks old. Our invasion of Greenland is 2 weeks out. And the bleakness of the news somehow feels to be constant and yet always getting worse. It's why politics feels like a shepherd tone. Do you know what a shepherd tone is? Anybody know what a shepherd tone is? This is a shepherd tone. That's right. Sheep find that sound utterly irresistible. It's an auditory illusion. It seems like it's always ascending, but it never actually gets higher. It builds and it builds and it builds, but it builds to nowhere and nothing. Like Los Angeles doing road construction or the film One Battle After Another. The illusion of a shepherd tone is created by many overlapping scales fading in and out of perception. We careen from escalation to escalation as the novelty fades, as pushback calms nerves, as the administration turns to its next enemy. Can we hear it again? It's also what planning a wedding feels like. On Sunday, we learned that U.S. Attorney and Judge Judy's Wario, Jeanine Pirro, launched a criminal investigation into Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. This is serious. A criminal investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office is the scariest way Jeanine Pirro can come after you other than on the freeway after she's attended a holiday party. The investigation is technically into whether Jerome Powell misled Congress about the renovation of the Federal Reserve's headquarters. But there's no reason to think Powell was lying when he said the Federal Reserve's bidets were too weak and he needed ones that could, quote, strip bubblegum off a shag carpet. In a rare video statement released by the Fed, Powell defended his independence.
No one, certainly not the chair of the Federal Reserve, is above the law. But this unprecedented action should be seen in the broader context of the administration's threats and ongoing pressure. Public service sometimes requires standing firm in the face of threats.
It's a dark day in America when even the Federal Reserve Chair has to pivot to video. Come with me, Jerome Powell, to try DC's hottest new Korean taco spot as I explain how Erdogan's interference with his country's central bank caused the collapse of the Turkish lira. And then it backfired. According to Axios Treasury Secretary and bottom who pretends to be a top, Scott Bessent, reportedly told Trump that this was a mess and it could hurt the markets. And there was an outcry by business leaders, former Fed chairs, and even a few Republican senators, if you can believe it. Democrats also spoke out, but that doesn't matter. And so this is how this particular news cycle wraps up. Trump's Department of Justice crosses a new line and risks economic catastrophe. There's genuine pushback. The markets trust that Trump will back down even as he doubles down publicly. And this escalation doesn't end. It just fades into the background. Meanwhile, in Minnesota, the escalation there continues. Six federal prosecutors in Minnesota resigned on Tuesday. Rather than comply with the Justice Department's push to investigate not Renee Good's killer, but Renee Good's widow. Good Lord, at least give her time to bury her wife on a golf course for the tax breaks like a decent human being. That one was hard. I know. It's okay. But also, for the first time, according to a YouGov poll, more Americans were in favor of abolishing ICE than opposed to it. And sure, abolishing ICE sounds good, but we have to think about where all those out-of-work officers would go. There are only so many gun ranges that will let you tape a picture of your ex-wife on the target. The Trump administration is bragging about doubling the number of ICE officers through its recruitment campaign, but there are also reports of plummeting morale and growing ranks of recruits hitting the streets without enough screening or training.
Exclusive reporting about an apparent error in the ICE recruitment system that meant some officers got sent into field offices without proper training. Apparently, ICE uses this AI tool to categorize new recruits who have worked in law enforcement before. But there was some kind of a glitch, according to our reporting, with it, that led to ICE temporarily putting recruits with little to no experience into a more experienced category, meaning they got less training.
Welcome to ICE, oops, all Paul Blart's edition. Laura Jadid, a writer for Slate, managed to get offered a job at ICE despite having never signed or submitted a background check or a domestic violence affidavit. Turns out, if you tap the action button on the new iPhone, it will toggle focus mode. But if you hold that button down, you do join ICE. The Atlantic also reported back in August that the training time for ICE recruits had been cut in half to just 47 days. And the officials chose 47 as the number because Trump is the 47th president. Though if Trump had his way, it would be even fewer days. Homeland Security Secretary and person who would absolutely wear a show-stopping white dress to her own sister's wedding, Kristi Noem, vowed to send hundreds more ICE agents to Minneapolis as protests continued across the state. But why would an uproar over ICE require more immigration enforcement? It's like a parent who catches their kid smoking, so forces them to smoke a whole pack of cigarettes, or when Noem catches her dog begging for table scraps, so she makes him eat a bullet. Meanwhile, images of jumpy, poorly trained, masked agents terrorizing an American city are turning more and more people away from Trump's crackdown. Here's Joe Rogan.
You don't want militarized people in the streets just roaming around, snatching people up, many of which turn out to actually be U.S. citizens that just don't have their papers on them. Are we really going to be the Gestapo? Where's your papers? Is that what we've come to?
And sure, the person Joe was asking this question to is a cryptozoologist exposing the truth about Atlantis. But still, it's good stuff. On Wednesday, thousands of children across Minnesota staged a school walkout in protest of ICE's presence. That's right. For justice, said the class president. Yes, for justice, said a procrastinator baffled by what the subjunctive is in English, let alone Spanish, as the clock tick ever closer to fifth period and the withering stare of Professora Gunderson. Gotta get out of here for justice. It's a mood. Grammar has a mood. Harrowing reports of ICE running amok led Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to urge citizens to film ICE agents.
Help us create a database of the atrocities against Minnesotans, not just to establish a record for posterity, but to bank evidence for future prosecution.
Wow, not even Tim Walz willing to pay for journalism. I feel like we're in the sort of bargaining phase of grief about the future, because there was a time where we imagined all kinds of things in the future. Teleportation, flying cars, a replicator that can make any kind of chicken parmesan you want, you know? And now it's just a future where there are consequences. That is like the high-speed rail. I don't think we're going to get it. A future with consequences, where there remains cause and effect. That's all we really want, cause and effect. Something to dream about. In response to local leaders standing up to the administration, Trump on Thursday threatened to evoke the Insurrection Act, which would, of course, only make matters worse. And that is so not like him. But we should have grace. Have any of you tried working from home during a big renovation? It's a poor guy. I'm gonna call him. Anyway, if Trump's goon squad thought Minneapolis was a cold reception, wait till they get to Greenland. On Tuesday, Greenland's prime minister officially told Trump to go fuck himself.
Greenland does not want to be owned by the USA. Greenland does not want to be governed by the USA. Greenland will not be part of the USA.
So she's interested, concluded Don Jr. On Wednesday, Trump's marry and fuck, J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio, met with the foreign ministers of Denmark and Greenland. And after the meeting, Denmark's foreign minister was asked by Fox News if Greenlanders would ever vote to join America. Here's what he said.
No, not at all. Because I think there's no way that U.S. will pay for a Scandinavian welfare system in Greenland, honestly speaking.
Cut to Maduro asking this guy, so what are you in for? Speaking of Maduro, Venezuelan opposition leader and Nobel Peace Prize winner Maria Corina Machado met with Trump at the White House on Thursday, and great news.
Ari, I am getting word from White House officials that Machado insisted that she give the Nobel Medal to the president, and he did accept it.
This is, of course, not how Nobel Peace Prizes work. Or as the Nobel Committee put it, once a Nobel Prize is announced, it cannot be revoked, shared, or transferred to others. The decision is final and stands for all time. This is completely humiliating. It's like having to explain to Trump that if you buy Gene Hackman's Oscar from the estate sale, you do not become the best supporting actor in 1992's Unforgiven. How is this real? How is this the actual news? And that's not the only example of escalation this week. The State Department suspending immigrant visa processing for 75 countries. DOJ raiding the homes of a Washington Post reporter. Trump threatening to cut off federal funding to any state that contains a sanctuary city. And Trump saying this about whole milk.
It's actually a legal definition, whole milk. And it's whole with a W for those of you that have a problem.
I mean, now I have a problem. What? What the fuck is he talking about? But at the same time, a new AP poll found that more than half of Americans believe the country and the economy are worse off since Donald Trump took office, and majorities believe he has gone too far in imposing tariffs and targeting illegal immigration. People are angry that Trump is focused on ballrooms and Danish territories. His disapproval rating is now over 60%. And those signs are all around us, too. Those sounds are rising, too.
No more ice!
Open the door.
That's terrible. It's terrible. No. What are they pulling around? Look at that. Let everybody see this.
This is nuts. This is fucking, yeah, and you're right in the middle of this shit. I gotta work in the goddamn morning, just like everybody else. I'm just here trying to stand up for community, dude. We're all human beings here. I don't give a shit who you are, where you came from, what color you are. It doesn't fucking matter. This is wrong.
Like that guy. During Trump's visit to a Ford plant in Michigan this week, an auto worker said his piece. It can be hard to hear, but the guy calls Trump a pedophile protector, and then Trump says, fuck you, and flips him the bird. It's a tiny little bird. Really, actually, like, shocking. Ford suspended the worker, TJ Cipolla, but as of this recording, over $800,000 has been raised for him on GoFundMe. Yeah. You know, the Trump administration on its various right-wing social media accounts likes to say America is for Americans. And I know how they mean it, but I'm starting to hear it differently. America is for Americans, and that ought to terrify these freaks, because Americans aren't for this. And that will always mean however they escalate, we will rise to meet them. America is for Americans like these fine souls in Minneapolis. Our voices are rising too, and that's the shepherd tone I'm really loving right now. So we've got a great show for you tonight. Coming up next, Robin Thede makes me tea. And we will be right back.
Hey, Don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Quince. A new year, colder days. This is the moment your winter wardrobe really has to deliver. If you're craving a winter reset, start with pieces truly made to last season after season. Quince brings together premium materials, thoughtful design, and enduring quality so you stay warm, look sharp, and feel your best all season long. Quince has everything you need. Men's Mongolian cashmere sweaters, wool coats, leather and suede outerwear that actually holds up to daily wear and still look good. Their outerwear is especially impressive. Think down jackets, wool coats, and Italian leather outerwear that keeps you warm when it's actually cold. Each piece is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. By cutting out the middlemen and traditional markups, Quince delivers the same quality as luxury brands at a fraction of the price. The result is classic styles you'll love that hold up year after year. I'm a huge fan of Quince. I have the Mongolian sweater.
I have a Mongolian sweater as well.
I just bought some sweats from them. I bought a bunch of stuff from Quince. Quince is the best. Check Quince out.
I love Quince.
Refresh your winter wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/loveit. I was just looking at Quince because turns out the rug in my bedroom was covered in dog piss.
Oh.
And then we tried to clean it. Made it worse. Became disgusting. So got to get rid of that. I'm looking at a Quince had great rugs.
I didn't even know they had rugs.
I know. Like I have a bunch of tabs open. I've decided yet. Quince could get the nod.
Maybe we can get a Quince rug for our office.
Oh, we should, because that thing's also disgusting.
Ugh.
Different dog.
Different dog,
I think.
Couple. Variety.
Dogs. Yeah. Yeah. Sort of a melange. So go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/loveit. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/loveit. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by ZBiotics. Let's face it, after a night with drinks, you don't bounce back the next day.
No,
like
you
used
you
to.
Don't.
You got to make a choice. You can either have a great night or a great next day. That is until we found pre-alcohol. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. We love ZBiotics. I took some. I was in Mexico for a couple days over the break. We just brought them down there so that we could have, you know, a night of drinking.
I don't leave home without them.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about it.
If you're ready to try it, go to zbiotics.com/loveit. You'll get 15% off your first order when you use Love It at checkout. Plus, it's backed by a 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Subscriptions are also available for maximum consistency. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/loveit and use code Love It at checkout for 15% off. And we're back! I'm just a boy standing on stage asking my first guest to come on out. Please put your hands together for Robin Thede.
Hi,
welcome.
Hi good,
nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So you're in a new rom-com called Relationship Goals.
Oh, getting right to it. Yes.
What do you think the main hurdles people are running up against romantically?
Okay, number one, men. Number two, sorry, straight men. No, I don't know. You know what is so crazy? Like, I think everyone, I know that wasn't a serious question, but I'm going to give you a serious answer. I think everyone's confused because everyone online is not who they are in person, whether they want to be or not. You know, we're all kind of putting our best foot forward or whatever, hiding our psychosis a bit.
Right. Isn't that what dating is meant to uncover? That's why we do it.
Yeah, I think but we've always people told us, are tell very us, mysterious and they can lie. I don't
right.
know.
They do lie. but probably always have. We've
That's
always
true.
Told a
That's
story
true.
About who we think we are. I think sometimes when you go on a date, you tell a story about who you think you are. And it's actually, you think there's parts that are true.
Yeah.
And the parts you're trying to kind of exaggerate.
Yeah.
But even the parts you think are true are a story you're
That's
telling
true.
Yourself. And yeah. then over time, you figure out what's the real story of this person according to you, which is also not true because it's through your lens,
yep.
which is also based on your own self-conception,
yep.
and that's also false.
There's always three sides to a story, right? Yours, mine, and the truth.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what I learned in therapy. Why are you so disappointed in my therapy?
No, I think therapy is great.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just so busy.
Oh. Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So busy.
Yeah, no, I got it.
And I don't need it anymore. I needed it for a while.
It does feel like in these times, though, it's like therapy is like just a baseline for trying to just keep it together. I don't know. I don't know. Is anyone like, I don't know how people are raw dogging it without some sort of conversation. Doesn't have to be with a licensed person, but at least a friend who listens or something.
Well, like, we have our staff meetings on Mondays.
Okay. Okay. There you go.
And that's really usually my
space. Yeah. That's your time.
To kind of work through some stuff.
That's probably an HR problem.
Couldn't. Yeah, probably. Now, this fall, Vogue sparked a devastating conversation with an essay that said, "Is having a boyfriend embarrassing?"
Oh my God, I loved it. Yeah,
and would you say that's the message of the movie that relationships are great, but you got to just hang out with Kelly Rowland?
No, and you know what's funny about that article? I love the lady that wrote it. She's now writing a book in Bali. I'm like obsessed with her Instagram.
Great place to write a book.
Yeah.
When I go to Bali, I'll be writing a book.
Why not? It's funny because my girlfriends and I were talking about this article. It was all of our group chats were blowing up when this came out. And we kind of came to the conclusion that like public boyfriends are embarrassing. So like
publicly
putting
performing
it,
your relationship.
Performative relationships are embarrassing.
Yeah. Just be, and it, but really, right. So basically you're saying like if you're in a relationship and it seems almost like, why are you posting so much about
it? These publicly kind of performative relationships where it's like, oh, it's our Instagram account and everything we do is about us. And I don't know, even the family ones are a little cringy to me because I'm like, these kids didn't ask to do this. I worry about that.
I worry about what it does to their brains.
So yeah, I just think performative, anything that's so performative, I'm not saying you can't post your boyfriend. You can post your boyfriend. But like anything that feels overly performative is just embarrassing.
But it does, I know what you mean, but then it does raise the question, what isn't performative and what isn't important? You know, and
I think authenticity is the bar, right? If it feels like, oh, you guys just had a fun hike and you posted about it, fine. But if you're like, look at us, everything's perfect, everything's aesthetically pleasing, and like this dinner is perfectly edited the way, I don't know, if it feels too...
Right, it needs to come from an organic place of pride. And then not efforted, right? Like an organic need to share because you're excited, but without enough self-reflection to want the attention.
That's right. You can't want the attention you're seeking. I know.
I don't know.
It's why I literally just, I don't know. I avoid that altogether. I don't post any relationship stuff.
I remember somebody said this.
Also, all my boyfriends would find out about each other, and that would be very embarrassing.
How many boyfriends do you have?
About 12.
12?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
Just
I got.
Juggling
that's,
12
wow,
different
that's
boyfriends.
So cool. That's so cool. You get to try so many fun restaurants.
So many restaurants.
Wait, your mom, Phyllis Thede, was an Iowa State representative from 2009 to 2023.
Yeah, she was.
Which
she
extends
amazing.
From Obama 1 to Trump 2.
Yes, yes, quite a ride. She's, 7 terms. And in the House, they have to run every other year. So every other year is an election year, which is insane. And she still managed to get work done, which was great.
What did she learn about politics once? What changed about what she thought being a politician was versus what it turned out to actually be?
Well, I remember being with her in 2008 when she got elected for the 2009 term, and Obama won the same night, and it was just such an incredibly high, you know. And then I remember being with her on the last election night when she lost her seat, and there was a massive red wave in Iowa, and you know, a state had gone from blue to purple to red in those 14 years, and it was just so different. I think the whole political climate on both sides of the aisle was very, frustrating isn't the word, but kind of hopeless, right? I mean, obviously, Obama's especially first term was all about hope and change and all of those things. And we still felt that even as he was leaving. And I think there was just an absence of that. There was just no kind of, I don't know, it felt very arid I think, when she left, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there was a
void of.
I feel like when Obama wins in 08 and then 12, it was part of a kind of feeling of, oh, we're heading into the future.
Yes.
And that he represented a change that was happening.
Yes.
And in hindsight, actually, his singular talents were overcoming a backlash, in part stirred by the fact that he was black, but also just larger
and creating a backlash that we were to see the likes of. I mean, you know, it's wild, and I think that regression or that shift to whatever we're in now was so evident, and I think she was kind of glad to retire when she did, but she definitely worked hard the whole time and never gave up and always tried to work across the aisle. But, you know, it's so they have to put up a picture of the current president and they have to say the Pledge of Allegiance to it. Did you guys know this? And
well,
so
you just say the Pledge of the flag, I would hope.
Well, I guess the flag's there too.
Yeah.
But when they put the Trump picture up, it was such a sad day. It was just so weird. It just the whole thing just felt very weird, very odd.
I remember we were at a live show and for Pod Save America, and there was a person in the audience that asked a question, and it was something like, after he's gone, like, can we take down all the portraits? And like, can we erase it?
No.
And it's like, no.
No.
Absolutely not.
His portrait has to stay.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No.
It has to go in the National Portrait Gallery. It has to.
No.
Yeah.
We're going to. No. It's forever.
Yeah.
No.
We're going to remember this.
No. This door locked behind us, babe.
It locked and burned.
Yeah. And wait. And speaking of unreality and the sense that we're living in what seems like an impossible and almost and surreal situation, you're producing an off-Broadway play about Bigfoot with Amber Ruffin.
Yes.
Bigfoot. Remember
Bigfoot.
Remember Harry and the Hendersons?
Yes, I remember Harry and the Hendersons.
Remember Alf? There were two different shows.
Oh my God.
At the same, roughly the same time.
I was a massive
time.
Alf fan, but Alf was an alien.
Alf was
small.
An alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So. Small.
Yeah.
Furry.
Yeah.
And
very
Harry,
forehead.
Big.
Yeah, big.
Furry.
Much more Sasquatchy.
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and Yeti?
I'm so glad you asked that. So a Yeti is more of a polar.
Or is it Himalayan?
Well, sure, but he's mountainous. And
it's cold.
And he's white.
Cold and white.
Yes.
Yeti.
And Sasquatch and Bigfoot are often confused, but a Sasquatch actually has longer hair and a much more of a... I have no idea what the difference between Bigfoot and Sasquatch is, right? Obviously, I've done no research. But I do know enough to tell you that Amber Ruffin has written one of the funniest musicals, and it's like a 90s rock musical. Like, it's so freaking funny. It's like Spamalot, Book of Mormon, like very farcical and silly, but with a big heart. And Gray Henson, who played Elf on Broadway, is playing Bigfoot. And it's just the funniest. It went to like Edinburgh and stuff over the past couple of years, so all these festivals and won everything. And now it's going to be off Broadway.
And you were telling me backstage there is a pretty graphic sex scene in it.
Well, a few. Yeah.
So, Robin, in honor of your of relationship goals, in which you are a friend.
Yes.
A friend to the rom-com kind of couple, will they-ing and won't they-ing.
Yes.
It's time for a segment we're calling, oh, this is my emotional support person.
Wait, we have a graphic.
The heck?
That's good. I like this.
So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you two rom-com besties, and you pick your favorite of the two.
Oh, great. Okay.
And then we'll go up against the next one and so on.
Yep.
Keep in mind, you do not know which best friend is coming next. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. First up, we have Awkwafina as Rachel's college roommate in Crazy Rich Asians. And we have Paula Patton as Morgan in the 2010 Queen Latifah common rom-com Just Right.
Oh. Now, what am I judging this on?
Who you just you're
who
picking.
Who is the better friend?
Who do you want? Who is you? You can just choose.
Well, Awkwafina was a mess. Her character was a mess in that movie. So I guess I'm going to have to go with Paula Patton.
Great. All right. Next up. All right. We have now we have Paula Patton as Morgan versus Arsenio Hall as Semi in Coming to America.
Arsenio Hall, the hands down. My favorite movie of all time. Yeah.
It's when he gets the hot... what was it about that hot tub?
Oh, my God. So funny. No, how about when he plays the woman on the speed dating? I mean, all of them playing multiple roles, but Arsenio does not get enough credit for how funny he is in this
movie. So good. I love that apartment. Yeah, it's a rental, too. They get the hot tub in there.
Yes, yes. And then the landlord takes it over when he has to... Yeah.
So good.
It's great.
All right, now we have Semi versus Monica Calhoun as Quincy and Monica's mutual friend Carrie in Love and Basketball.
Oh, okay. Love and Basketball is a classic. I still got to go with Semi because he rode for his friend doing the craziest things and really, you know, and really rode for himself because he wanted to get all the perks of being the friend of the prince. But yeah, I'm still going to go with Semi.
I support that. Next up, Semi versus... Dave Chappelle as Joe's bookstore manager, Kevin, and You've Got Mail.
I thought you were going to say Dave Chappelle and Robin Hood Men in Tights, and then I was going to, or even Half-Baked, and I was going to give you both of those, but I'm going to stick with Semi.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's right. Tom Hanks is the villain in that film, by the way. Mm-hmm. I just want to be clear mm-hmm. about that. There, it makes
I have a theory that Tom Hanks is the villain in every film.
Oh, interesting. Even Captain Phillips?
About it. Forrest Gump, think about it. He did Lieutenant Dan wrong. Just saying.
You know what I learned there? If anyone says something to you with a kind of authoritative tone,
yeah, you'll get the...
That cues them.
Yeah.
I'm worried about what just happened. I'm worried about that.
Convince them of anything.
All right. Now we have Semi versus Carrie Fisher as Sally's desperate bestie, Marie, in When Harry Met Sally.
Oh. But Carrie Fisher has so many other good roles I could pick her for.
What is she? Has she ever been another rom-com bestie?
Well, Star Wars is a rom-com.
Right, but she's falling in love with her brother.
That's true. That's true.
That's the beauty. Oh, no, it's Harrison Ford. I know that. I remember.
Semi. It's my favorite movie.
It's your favorite movie?
Yeah.
So good.
Some point. If you pick one, there is one person that could beat him.
Okay, we'll see if we get there. Next up, it's Rupert Everett as George in My Best Friend's Wedding.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with Rupert Everett. He was a great friend in that movie, and she was a mess, and she had no business being the lead of that movie. I think she, and I love Julia Roberts, adore her, but she was wrong in every way in that movie.
Yeah.
But he was a great friend. He was a great friend to her.
That movie is very much, it's funny because it's like from the perspective, like it's obviously so from her perspective,
yeah.
But it's also kind of from the perspective of like, it's as if the movie isn't aware of what real relationships
right.
are. Like,
right. And at some point, somebody goes, no, they're going to root for her to ruin her best friend's life. I don't know. But Rupert Everett is amazing in that movie. He's amazing.
It's sort of this like quality of rom-coms, even the great ones, which is that they treat the possibility of ending up together as like everything has to be just right.
Yeah.
Like everything is
literally
like,
a movie called Just Right.
Yeah. But how like in like The Little Mermaid, like if they're ever going to kiss, everything has to be just
right. I know.
But like,
I know.
When people want to kiss, they kiss.
They kiss. And I'm not selling my voice just to kiss a man with legs. Okay.
And that's so important. And
all
so
I need,
important.
Your voice. She was like, bleh. What?
Yeah.
Also great movie.
She needs, you know what? Her best friends really let her down. You know why? Because Flounder and the Crab, they're just not, they're betas.
Yeah.
They're betas.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
They're betas.
They do not have enough life experience
it's
at all.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
right. Now we have Rupert Everett as George.
Yes.
Versus Queen Latifah as Sydney's supportive cousin Francine in Brown Sugar.
No, Rupert Everett. And I love Dana. I love Queen Latifah. Sorry. No, I still got to go with Rupert Everett. And I love Brown Sugar.
Who do you think is the best then? Who would have beaten? Is there anyone that could beat?
Yes.
Who?
Philip Seymour Hoffman and Along Came Polly.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was so funny and so useless as a friend that he actually drove bad decisions that led to good decisions. And so I just also love him and miss him.
Yeah.
He was fun to watch.
He was very good. He was also great in Mission Impossible 3.
He was fantastic in Mission Impossible.
So
good. To think
good.
That he could be that horrible child actor turned whatever he was in Along Came Polly versus Mission Impossible is like the range.
And Boogie Nights.
And Boogie Nights. And didn't he play some, who was the artist he played? Not Andy Warhol, but some, anyway, he's an icon. What was
it? Capote.
Thank you, Truman Capote.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, the winner is Rupert Everett as George. Relationship Goals is on Amazon Prime on February 4th. Up next, they're from shrinking, but my excitement is growing. All right, we'll be right back. Thank you, Robin. Robin will be back at the end of the show. Thank you.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Stamps.com. It's staggering that to this very day, many small business owners are still making post office runs or are stuck with expensive postage meter leases. It's ridiculous. 2026, what? Not,
what are you doing?
Not 1926. 100 years ago. Mail and ship when you want, how you want with Stamps.com. Will you take a horse to the post office? With Stamps.com, you can send from your computer or phone 24/7. No long lines, no low supplies, open anytime. Print postage on demand and get up to 90% off carrier rates like FedEx, UPS, and USPS. Schedule carrier pickups right from your door and get carrier-compliant labels every time. No errors, no rejected mail, no wasted trips. It's perfect for your business. Send certified mail. Get document tracking to confirm delivery and analytics to make sure you know exactly what you've sent and spent. For almost 30 years, millions of customers have relied on Stamps.com to make mailings and shippings faster and so simple. If you're a small business owner who's tired of the post office, eating up your day, Stamps.com is one of those tools that just makes sense. You can save time, money, and you don't have to leave your home or office. So why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Right now, you can try Stamps.com risk-free for 60 days. Go to Stamps.com and use code LOVEIT to get 60 days risk-free. 60 days gives you plenty of time to see exactly how much time and money you'll save on every shipment. That's Stamps.com, code LOVEIT. That's Stamps.com, code LOVEIT. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Smalls. January is when we all try to reset. Why shouldn't we also reset our pets? Wait, what? Reset for our pets. It's 2026. Do you still feed your cat like it's 1926? For a limited time, get 60% off your first order. How do you feed your cat like it's 1926? What? They're
feeding it mice?
Yeah. Fish doing the Charleston? What are we talking about? The point is, you get 60% off your first order, plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/loveit. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. That's why cats.com named Smalls their best overall cat food. Starting with Smalls is easy. Just share info about your cat's diet, health, and food preferences. Then Smalls puts together a personalized sampler for your cat. No more picking between random brands at the store. Smalls has the right food to satisfy any cat's cravings. After switching to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements, and wait till they gave it to the cats. Then it got even crazier. It's a big deal. And the team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product. You can try it risk-free. That means they will refund you if your cat won't eat their food. Make 2026 your cat's healthiest year yet. Take advantage of their New Year special and get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/loveit. One last time, that's 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/loveit. And we're back. Great news, we've checked, and your health insurance covers our next two guests. Please welcome to the stage, from Apple TV Shrinking, Michael Urie and Ted McGinley. Hi. Thank you for being here. Look at this.
Everybody,
wow.
Thank you.
Good to meet you and have you here.
So both. Nice.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Ted McGinley, everybody. There he is. Look at that.
TV's Michael Urie.
Now, you don't play therapists on the show.
No. Sorry.
Neither of us do. Thank you for noticing. Yeah. Nobody would let me do that.
I don't think either one of you has therapist energy.
No. We're basket cases.
That's... Now, hang on a second. I think that Derek has this, he has this really understanding energy. So he is just very accepting. Derek will almost believe anything. So I think that... He wouldn't make it as a therapist.
Well, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the cool things about the show is I think, though, that sometimes the people who aren't therapists are sort of filling a void of therapy for the therapists. Like whenever we get the scripts, I always look at the scenes and I think, am I on the couch or am I with the pad? Like which role am I playing in this particular scene?
Yeah, that's well said, because that's very true. Like often sort of off the ice, we become the therapist for the therapist. And I keep saying, "Wow, you guys seem more crazy than all of us." Yeah.
Well, that, I think that's a great way into how we're going to be doing this segment because, as I did mention earlier, I haven't been to therapy in about a year and a half because I am so busy.
I love that. Yeah.
So tonight, I'm going to ask you about your incredible careers and ask you some of the questions I've been saving up for a therapist in a segment. In a segment we're calling, "But Michael Urie and Ted McGinley, I am Pagliacci." That killed me. All right. Michael, the shrinking cast had an addition. And I understand that this involved you working with sort of a new member of the cast.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And this was a small member.
Tiny actor.
The cast. How'd that go?
What a setup.
Yeah. Did I do a bad job?
No, it's great.
Hey, so there was a fucking baby this season. And like, what was that like?
Spoiler, my character has a baby, which is...
Am I not supposed to know that?
No.
Is that spoiled? Can you spoil a show about therapy?
No.
It's like, they kind of figure it out.
No, not at all. My character has a baby this season. And I... And there was a really funny moment in... This previous season where we were sort of toying with the idea of a baby. Like they brought a baby on set and was like, will this guy be able to have a baby? My character's, you know, not exactly he doesn't seem like the kind of person who should be a father or should have a baby.
That's for sure.
And that's kind of like my arc. Great. It's a great arc and I love playing it. And at one point we were trying to work with this baby in season two and it was crying a lot because that happens. That's what babies do. And one of the crew guys... One of the crew guys was like, please don't let them give you a baby next season.
Well, they say, you know, babies and animals can be tough.
Okay. But I want to push back on that a little bit, John, if it's okay.
You can.
I think it's children and animals. I say babies are great to act with.
Right, because they don't have any say.
That's right. That's right. They're basically just a living prop.
And you always look like an angel holding a baby. Oh, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
Who's going to do something cute and then be like a little shit and make you look bad. Or a dog is trained. You know, working with animals is weird because they're not like regular animals. They're trained. And so they're looking at their, you know, their handler off camera. And it's like not fun at all.
It's really hard to work with animals and the trainer because the trainer, if you're having a scene, we have a thing called an eye line where you don't want anybody in your eye line while we're working opposite each other because I want to focus on you. But when you're working with an animal, the trainer's back there going, and you get, it's like, up, and me or the dog. I don't know who we're talking to. Well, they drive you nuts.
Because now you were bit in the crotch by a dog.
Yes.
On Happy Days.
Yeah, you want to talk about shrinking. So on Happy Days, and this is where I learned, like, you really have to trust the actor holding the animal. So the worst thing you can do is give an actor almost anything, but you give him a deadly animal. And then this guy.
Who was it? Who was holding the animal?
So, well.
Was it the Fonz?
No.
Who?
He was a guest star. He was a very big, strong guy, and he's holding this huge dog that was supposed to come after me. And he had a chain on him. The guy's holding him like this. And as you start acting, everybody sort of relaxes and it goes. And all of a sudden that dog comes at, he's supposed to do this. And he comes after me and the guy's supposed to hold him. He doesn't grab the dog and he grabs my crotch right here. Thank God I was going the other way. And other words, it would have been the other circumcision.
Wow.
It was brutal. Wow. Literally, it scared me to death. I would be living on an island in Bimini right now, doing pretty well with my own jet, but a little shorter.
Now, there's no video proof that we could find, but you were also perhaps on the Love Boat with an orangutan.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I've worked.
Ted's career is crazy. We'll be on set and we'll be talking about something, and he'll be like, "Yeah, that's when I danced with the Andrews sisters on the Love Boat." And it's like, "You what? Wait, go back. Yeah. What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I work with Zsa Zsa Gabor. Oh, sure. Yeah." He's got the craziest stories.
My problem is that I don't remember them until you start talking about them. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I forgot about that." I've worked with a bear. I've worked with a wolf. I've worked with an orangutan. and they're like, don't look him in the eyes. Well, how am I going to work with him?
Yeah. Well, that's no way to talk about Harrison Ford. All right. Now, I do have a therapy. Here's my first therapy question. I feel like I can't envision the future. Like, I can make plans, but then someone says, are you looking forward to that? And I was like, I don't know how to do that. What is that, you think? So, like, I plan for the future. And then they're like, are you looking forward to that trip? And it's like, well, I know we're going to do fun things, but I have no image of it in my mind. Mm. I don't think about it that way.
So when you go to sleep at night,
uh-huh,
you don't close your eyes and you don't imagine where you're going to go?
No.
Well, let's work on that.
Oh, this is good.
I think that's the beginning.
I'll work on it.
At nighttime, you close your eyes, you picture where you're going to go, how you're going to be in that setting, and you go there.
I'm going to try that. Thanks for nothing, Michael Urie.
I'm a basket case. I can't help you.
Now, you're both veteran TV actors, and is it a pain to have to work with kind of snooty film actors like Harrison Ford?
No, he's awesome.
He is.
He's really cool.
I like to say that Michael Urie is a masterclass in acting. He truly is so gifted, and to just get to stand next to him is a miracle. Harrison, you work with Harrison. I had a real problem with Harrison because he kept saying, I mean, I grew up loving everything he's ever done, love all his movies, and yet you have to work opposite him. I didn't have scenes directly with him once in the first season I did, but have had more since, and I couldn't get past the fact that that's Harrison Ford. Yeah. You know, it was so hard for me, and finally, off camera, he puts you at ease so much. And he's really like, he's the youngest guy in the city. He's a bad behaved 16-year-old. And so it's really fun. He's an amazing force. But when you work with him, you realize, now I see why this guy is who he is.
Yeah.
He's a master.
Oh, we had a scene. Jason and I had a scene with him. We have a scene this season where we're doing something pretty crazy in the front seat of a car and he's in the back seat. And we found out about it a couple of weeks before it was happening.
My favorite scene of the whole year.
Is it?
Yeah, love it.
It's a really cool scene, and Jason and I got so excited about it. We were told a couple of weeks early, this is coming down the pike, just letting you know. And we were so excited, and we didn't tell Harrison what we were going to do. And in the script, it didn't explain what was going to happen.
And it's a two-shot here, and then Harrison right here in the middle. So you're watching him while these guys go.
And Jason and I are going for it. We are shooting this, and we're like in a car in Pasadena. We're driving around, and we are going for it. We are like having the best time. It's so fun. It's so funny. And they send us the dailies, which they don't usually do, but this was such a special shot that they sent us the dailies. And you can't take your eyes off Harrison. Jason and I are in the front seat, like acting our pants off, and he's back there just being a human being. And he's incredible. I was like, he's incredible. He goes through every human emotion with just his face, no words at all. He's sad, he's giddy, he's afraid. He does like everything back there. And you realize that's why he's a movie star.
He's the master.
He's so interesting.
He really
what is that thing?
I don't know.
Is that thing that draws your attention, that movie star charisma, that way his face does stuff. You're like, I want to watch that face.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's partially like, I know that he's thinking, but I don't know what he's thinking.
Yes.
And I want to know.
That's right. You can't always tell what's going on in there. And it's so compelling that you just keep going in for more. And you never know what he's going to do. I mean, he's a lot of fun to be around.
Now it's time for another therapy question.
Close your eyes.
I know on some level that a less ambitious version of me would be happier. But I will not do the work to become that less ambitious version of me because I am currently that ambitious version of me. And this version of me doesn't want to surrender control to that happier me because it might stop me from becoming some undefined, most successful version of me, which is what the current me wants for my future, even if that happier me, if allowed to exist, will know that this current desire was misplaced and would be glad I didn't pursue it.
Yeah.
Ted, do you want to take that
one? Yeah. I would. Well, that's an easy one. What I like best about that is you didn't want to do the work to become less ambitious.
That's right. I don't. I don't. Like some soft little faggy bitch. I want to work. What am I going to do? Like, you know, have a hobby? What could that be? Will it get me any attention?
What are your hobbies? I would like to know.
I mostly do this.
Well,
I
you're
do
good
like
at
to cook. I do like to cook. I'm do learning
you?
To cook.
That's not a hobby. That's a need. You have to cook. You have to eat.
And your specialty, your area of expertise?
Yeah, like mostly like food and stuff. Different kinds of food.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Michael, I want to ask you about your show, Younger, which was, you were on Younger, and it starred Sutton Foster and Hilary Duff. And in season 5, Hilary Duff's character dates a fake Jon Favreau, who's my co-host on Pod Save America, named Jake Devereaux, who's part of an obviously fake Pod Save America podcast. There is also a Jewish man named Levitt. And then, we have the picture. So here's Jake Devereaux, very handsome. Now here's Levitt. And then that's my third co-host, Tommy, played by a woman named Charlotte. What was that about?
Michael, you want to handle this one?
Yeah.
Well, I think that they were trying to show that I don't fucking know. I wasn't in that episode. I was a recurring guest star. I don't know. I think this is something that you should talk to your therapist about. This is another example of a
Too
reason why
busy.
You need to get back in
Not
therapy.
Enough time.
If this bothers you, and also, by the way, this is an adorable person.
No, I look good now. I'm good. Yeah, I think Tommy got erased. That's Tommy erasure. Oh, on Shrinking.
Yeah.
Now you've acted across from Candace Bergen, Jeff Daniels, and Harrison Ford. Who is the worst of the three actors?
Me. by far. That is, imagine, like, these are all rock stars. And the fact that you get to work opposite them is pretty special. It's not lost on me. And by far, if you're going to pick the worst, you're looking at them.
But see, then, but you're one of the legends that people must feel that way when you're standing across from them. What does it feel like to be that for people? They're like, oh my God, it's Ted McGinley.
I've never experienced that. I really want to, but I haven't experienced it.
I was so excited to meet you.
Oh, that's so not true. But, you know, you work on this set. The people that come in, Michael J. Fox this year is coming in. Michael J. Fox is, I've known him when I was on Happy Days at Paramount. I would see him on the lot. We've circled each other for years. And he's such a talent comedically. And you realize there are many, many movies now that I've realized would never have been made without him saying, I will do it. I went to his Parkinson's benefit. They've raised $2 billion in 20 or 25 years. If I was afflicted with that, I would be sitting in a dark closet crying all day and no one would benefit. Someone like Michael is so courageous and so generous and the fact that what he's done for mankind is so beautiful. And that Harrison plays side by side with someone who deals with it on a daily basis, in a moment-to-moment basis. It is a very special part of the show this year. And it's gut-wrenching to watch.
It was really magical having him around.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I think that when you get Parkinson's, you're going to do great stuff with it.
I you know what? Thank you.
Sorry.
What else can I say? Thank you very much.
It's not
much.
Contagious. Yeah. It's not like...
Yeah. Right. And that's so important. Yeah. And that's part of the awareness.
Well, I've...
And that's important to remember. I didn't know if that was okay, and I've done it, and it's done.
It's okay. I wash my hands all the time.
So, yeah. Hey, did you realize when you were on Married with Children that we were all going to end up living in Al Bundy's America?
Kind of had an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great place to be. That show was fun. We had a lot of, it was a unique experience because they were sort of the anti-everything. And I was having this conversation today that the Bundys were sick in that it was us against them. We are the opposite in that it is the world. We are just living in this dark world, the soup that we all live in all the time, but we're there for each other. The Bundys are kind of like that, but it's a very small group. So it was a weird analogy that talking to people about it. I think that Al Bundy, I love that Ed O'Neill got to move on to Modern Family because I think he didn't want to die as Al Bundy. As great as it was, you saw him move on. He's a brilliant actor.
Yeah. That show, it's funny because Married with Children, I was talking with Hallie, who's our head writer, and we both had the same experience, which is it was the one show we were not allowed to watch as kids.
Same. Yeah,
there was something about it really, really freaked the squares.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. My parents were so excited when I got on Happy Days. And then I went to the Bundys, Married with Children. They freaked out, like, what is this? And then when I had kids, we wouldn't let them watch the show. And by the time they were old enough to watch the show, you know, it was so tame by then they could care less.
That's what I'm curious about. I would actually kind of want
to
go back and
watch
it.
And,
Family Guy, yeah, compared to what was, like, Married with Children was seen as so, like, edgy and dangerous for kids.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think my kids have ever seen it, to be honest with you.
Wow.
In fact, I don't think they've ever seen anything I've done. And neither has my wife. She just learned my name today. But they've watched Shrinking, and that's pretty cool.
You know, Michael,
they like Michael.
Yeah, everybody likes Michael. I saw you in O'Mary, and you were fantastic.
Oh, cool.
You were so great in O'Mary.
I saw him in Richard II, and he was phenomenal.
Yeah, but not as funny.
You know what?
I was like,
he was pretty funny.
Yeah,
that's what he found in this.
You found the comedy in Richard II?
Yeah.
That's cool.
We got some laughs. It was cool.
But it wasn't as funny as O'Mary.
Not as funny as O'Mary. No. O'Mary is like the most perfect play. It's so brilliant. It's so smart. It's so funny. And it was, there are these wonderful surprises that happen during the show. And the way the audience would react to the surprise, I would get like, hard as a rock. It was so fucking cool to like lay a surprise on 900 people who have no idea what's coming, or if they've seen it before, they're so ready for it. That play is like drugs. It was so exciting.
It was really like riveting. It was just a riveting experience. Yeah.
And how amazing was Jinx Monsoon? Jinx Monsoon was my Mary. She's brilliant. I've worked with Sutton Foster and Patti LuPone and Mercedes Rule. I've been on stage with like some giants.
Oh.
And Jinx is like that. Working with Jinx is like working with a stage titan.
Sitting right here. Just saying, sitting right here. Go on. Yeah.
You'd be really good in a play. You should do a play.
I don't have the courage.
You'd be great on stage.
I don't have the courage. But
you're constantly putting yourself down. And this is not your session. It's mine. But it's something I want to deal with later. I want us to focus on that in your session.
Yeah.
I don't.
You know, it's been a long career. It's been brutal. Yeah. So
come on, you've been in it the whole time. This business has changed around you 15 times and you're still fucking crushing it. What are you talking about?
I'm like a cockroach. You can't get rid of me. I am a survivor for sure. I'm a fighter. And I'm still here. I'm very proud of that.
You should see the crew loves Ted more than any of us. Even like Harrison. When Ted walks on the set, the crew lifts off the ground 6 inches. He's the Pied Piper. Everyone loves him so much. You're like...
That's very sweet. That means a lot to me because I do... The crew has become, on our set, they are one of the characters. We actually use the crew for the reaction constantly, right?
Totally.
And we can trust them. They have our back. And so I always see myself as one of the crew members. And I will be probably after.
It's funny. It's a kind of a truism, which is that, like, especially early, like if I think of some of the iconic roles you had earlier on, like you were kind of a world-class handsome prick.
Yeah. I should say yeah, but yes.
But it's
I was
funny,
a prick.
Yeah, okay.
You're like the poster child for prick.
Like, I know. I love being the prick.
Can you not say I am handsome? You don't do that? You don't acknowledge that you're a very handsome man?
At one time, I might have been all right, but I'm growing into my character self, which I enjoy. Yeah.
Oh, you're in your character self.
Yeah.
You're going handsome actor to character actor. That's the transition you're in the middle of. Well, it's interesting because that really comes to my next therapy question, which is on some level, I don't believe my personality works in an older body. And right now, my only plan is to pretend not to notice that I am aging. Do you think there are other approaches? Like, I just don't think this energy works in a kind of wizened form.
I would say you're not seeing yourself in a real way. It works for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that body and once is perfect.
Once again,
you'll get better and better.
Close your Michael Urie, useless. Well,
I'm trying to get a word in. It's impossible okay. up here.
All right, all right. Let's just...
Sorry. No, Michael, no.
Here
what
it goes.
Were you going to do to fix me?
I want you to close your eyes and imagine yourself as a shriveled, old, wizened comedian, quote-unquote comedian. And just see, is it fun? Is it still cute? And is it working? And I think the answer is going to be yes. I think yes. I think
okay, that felt good. Thank you for helping. Thank you for helping.
Wow, you are broken. Yeah.
All right. We have to leave it there for now. This is so much fun. I keep talking, guys, so we got to go to the next thing. Michael and Ted are in season 3 of Shrinking, which is on Apple TV Plus, premiering on January 28th. We will be right back. Robin's going to join us. We'll be right back.
Hey! Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Willie's Remedy. Are you tired of waking up hungover and worried about what happened last night?
Not since 2010.
Now you can have, because you just go for it. Now you can have fun and relax without any of the regrets with Willie's THC-infused social tonic. For anyone trying to be more intentional this year, Willie's gives you that social uplifting buzz without breaking your goals. Willie's is the upgrade your resolutions will actually thank you for. Willie's is a premium THC-infused social tonic crafted by the legendary Willie Nelson. Cool.
Wow.
Inspired by Willie's way of living where peace flows freely and hangovers are a thing of the past. It's a low-calorie, low-sugar alcohol alternative that actually works, delivering a fast-acting, euphoric social buzz without the regrets that come with alcohol. Willie's Social Tonics come in 5-milligram and 10-milligram doses with a best-in-class flavor experience, so smooth and balanced, you barely realize you're drinking a THC product at all. Willie's like, I drink a 5, a 10, another 10, then a 5, then a 10, then I'm ready to hit
then
the...
Then I smoke some weed.
Yeah, then I got to get my buzz on. You can enjoy the tonics as a shot sipped over ice, or mix into your favorite mocktail. Willie's is not that feared edible you ate too much of in college. Each bottle of Willie's is third-party lab tested for accurate dosage so you can trust and customize your experience. Willie's unique blend of THC, CBD, CBG, and L-theanine delivers a feeling of calm, clarity, euphoria, and relaxation. One shot of Willie's helps you relax, unwind, and de-stress. Perfect for taking the edge off at the end of a long day or socializing with friends. Willie's offers the kind of feeling that makes good company even better. Willie's sold out 3 times in the first 6 months with over 50,000 happy customers, and they just restocked. Willie's ships directly to your doorstep in 40 states. Order now at drinkwillies.com and use code LOWLY for 20% off your first order. Plus free shipping on orders over $95 and enjoy life in the high country. That's drinkwillies.com and use code LOLI.
And we're back. Everybody, please welcome Robin Thede back to the stage.
Finally a standing ovation I deserve.
Robin's going to join
Thank
us.
Thank you so much.
Ted and Michael
friend.
As well. Now, before we get to our final segment, one note. We have our Down Under tour. Pod Save America is going down under for our hopefully just visiting tour. We are heading to Auckland, New Zealand on February 11th, and then 3 cities in Australia. Melbourne on February 13th, Brisbane on February 14th, Sydney on February 16th. It's a rare chance to see us upside Ooh. Down.
That's where the Sasquatches are.
Yeah. Right?
Australia.
Everybody go to crooked.com/events. Also, to my friends in New Zealand, we did not know when we booked the show that it was the one night Lord was also playing
oh,
in Auckland.
Oh, no, you're screwed. You're screwed.
And so listen, here's the thing. Whatever she's going to sing that night, it's on Spotify.
No.
I say do the show from the parking lot.
Yeah. Just
take
tailgate.
Advantage of it.
Yeah, reminds tailgate me, the Lord yeah. concert.
It reminds me of that old joke that ABC's new hit show is just showing Seinfeld on a smaller screen. That's what we'll do. Come to the Pod Save America show. We'll put Lord up there in New Auckland. But please come see us if you're in the area.
If you hate Lord, please come see us.
Events. All right. We want to end the show tonight with something a little bit different, something we're calling second thoughts. I've said dozens of things.
I'm always so businessy in these.
Yeah. So interesting. I've said dozens, if not hundreds of things tonight. Many of them I already regret. And so it's time for us all to offer second thoughts right now. So throughout the show, the Love It or Leave It team has been keeping tabs on things they wish I hadn't said. And so we now have a list of those second thoughts. Michael, do you have any second thoughts about tonight?
I cannot believe that you compared Alf to Harry and the
Hendersons. Right? Right? Very different creatures.
A little alien, and Harry and the Hendersons is a giant. He is a giant Bigfoot, and I was offended as a child. I grew up on both of those. Yeah. I loved both of those, and there's nothing. It would be like, it's like apples and oranges, honestly. And
I think it's more like a little kind of mean apple, big nice apple.
I agree.
Are
with
you
that.
Calling Alf mean?
Yeah.
How
intense.
Dare you?
Well, yeah. I mean, what are you, a cat?
Yeah. I get it.
Right?
Are you, a fucking cat?
See, Alf hated cats.
He ate them. He ate them. In a sense, he liked them.
Yes.
But he ate them.
Yes.
They were the cats hated him.
I can't believe you watched Alf.
I loved Alf.
I never watched it. It was,
well, I'm a puppeteer, anything with puppets.
By the way, so is Jason Segel.
Yes.
He loves his puppets.
Yep.
So I didn't watch it just because it was a puppet.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Did you watch Dinosaurs?
Not highbrow enough for Ted McGinley.
Remember Dinosaurs?
I'll be watching L.A. Law, thank you.
I love it when Corbin Burnson pulls in. In his convertible Porsche. Yeah.
Wow.
You're going to get hooked. You're going to go buy the DVD box set. You're going to get hooked.
The DVD.
As soon as you can find a DVD player.
You got that right. I have to tell you, we're Palisades burn victims. So they're going through all of our house is still there, but it's a shell. But they're going through all of our electronics, and they're going to give you a value of your electronics. And I have 50,000 of the DVD machines and all that. They gave me $200 for
Oh, my God.
Literally for 15 machines.
Hey, my TV is a little bit broke. Mind if I drive my TV over to your wreck and throw it in there?
Yeah.
Well, because what's the harm? It's just the insurance company.
We have these massive, giant dumpsters in front of our house. And people keep driving by and saying, well, what's in there? I said, pretty much everything we love.
I'm really sorry your house burned down.
Our house is standing.
But the insides.
They have to get rid of all that.
Because it all got ruined.
Yeah. Anything soft goes.
Because the doors blew open, right?
Our doors blew open or somebody came through and front and back door. But we're the lucky ones. Like everybody we know has lost pretty much everything. And I have almost never had a better year than we had last year. So there are so many blessings, mixed in with this complete chaos. But it is interesting. You kind of learn what you when you have to make that choice. My poor wife had to make the choice. What are you going to take?
Yeah.
And the second day, Billy Bush, I snuck in a press car with Billy Bush, and I went to our house, and the fire was all around us. And so I said, well, what should I get? And I had my giant, all the photos of my career in the book. I had this scrapbook of all these. And I thought, well, if I get that, I have to get my wife's. And I don't know if we have room in the car, so I had to choose to leave my stuff there, and the only thing you could take is your kids' stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is, these are things that you, in those moments, the chaos that goes through your mind is crazy.
One other thing I regret from this show is that I did make light of the fire thing a few minutes ago, and then it turned into a really kind of moving thing about what you saved, and I shouldn't have done that probably because it's a big, big important moment, in
look
his
at
life.
You. Look at you acknowledging that. Yeah. But I don't that's think, good.
That's gross.
And I also don't think you should regret something that works out well. I thought that worked out really well. That's what you told me to say, right?
That's right. Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
I thought that was it.
Oh, Robin.
Following the script.
It says here that when you came out, I didn't do any kind of small talk with you. I jumped right into, so you're in a new movie, which seems like something should have worked out. If we should have had more of a human moment at the
top. No, but we've met each other before. This isn't, I've done this podcast. I've known you for a while. We don't need that.
I thought the transition was a little awkward. I was like, whoa, is that how this is going to go?
Is he going to do that?
Well?
Should we go now?
Yeah, and I did comment on it at the time. I did say, wow, jumping right in. So you know what? I take it back. I hate you.
I'm trying to learn from the feedback. Hey, Michael, do you think it was a mistake when I called myself a faggy little bitch? No, do you think I've internalized something I should work on?
No, I like that. I like owning that word. I think that's our word. We're going to take it back, and we're going to use that word. Bitch, I mean. I'm using the word.
I have one.
Oh, what? Yes.
You played that god-awful sound too much.
Oh, the shepherd tone?
I didn't like it. It's like a dog whistle for me. I didn't like it.
Also, you made me feel less than the way you sit.
You're so flexible.
You're so flexible, and I couldn't do that on my greatest day of life. And I thought, I don't really want to go out there with this young guy.
Yeah.
And then he starts complaining about his old body. What the hell?
Yeah.
See, hey, I'm actually... Here's the thing. It's Pilates and hair transplants. That's all that's going on here. Well, that's really all this is.
It's working.
Thanks.
Is that the same class?
What? No, you get... They're actually in tension because you have to... Because you can't do Pilates for a while after the hair transplant.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because you got to keep up. You got to stay up.
Got it.
You just do what they say.
It's
I didn't go all the way to Turkey to fuck it up. I didn't go to Turkey. I'm in Beverly Hills. I want to go somewhere I can sue. You know? That is going to have to be our show. Thank you so much to Robin Thede, Michael Urie, Ted McGinley. We'll see you next week at Dynasty right here. There are 289 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend.
Yay! Yeah.
If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Suba Agarwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East. It's